Good evening, anglers.
Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 13th of April. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Don't you worry about that. Now, the important thing is that the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear and then show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy. Our freshwater reporters will check in. And as always, we'll finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is on the 16th. Remember that a new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does that mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. Start planning your trip away now. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite. Full moon, fisherman's folly. The culmination of this year's Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand calendar is the National Championships. Now what happens is that the top 20 anglers from all the regional championships are awarded a place in these finals. The scores to qualify are from their best lake fishing competitions and their best river fishing competitions. This year's anglers were to fish 4 river sessions as part of the River Nationals and 4 lake sessions as part of the Lake National Championships. After these events, they will crown both the River National and the National Lake Champions and then the overall championship. Sounds complicated, doesn't it? A few weeks ago, the National River Championships were held and the results were 1st Corey Scott, 2nd Dan Comer and 3rd John Gummer. Last week, the National Lake Championships were held. And the results? 1st, John Gummer, 2nd, Lloyd Struthers, and 3rd, Corey Scott. Now, the overall results after the River and the Lake National Championships are 1st, Corey Scott, 2nd, John Gummer, and 3rd, Dan Comer. Congratulations to those anglers. Well done indeed over a long period of time. The North Shore Fly Fishers announces a fishing competition to be held on Sunday, the 22nd of April. And the objective is to promote Lake Pupuke as a fishing spot and to obtain data about fish numbers, size and condition that will assist the Auckland Waikato Fish and Game Council in the management of the Lake Pupuke fishery. This has been going for some years and it's very successful. Listen to this. There's no entry fee or registration. All participants, including juniors, must present a current fish and game licence to be eligible for prizes. You can use any legal fishing method, and the sport's fishing regulations must be observed. Fishing gear must be free of weed, etc., from other waterways. Makes sense. And the weigh-in is at the Sylvan Park Reserve, on the elevated area near the car park from 3 to 3.30, followed by the prize given. And there's plenty of prizes available. Now, the organiser's name is Dave Sims, and his contact number is 021-673-045. Dave Sims, 021-673-045, Lake Pupuke Fishing Competition, Sunday, 22nd of April. Okay, if you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you just contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pam@xtra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Right, let's look at some weather. Met Service, Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A front becomes slow-moving over the North Island later today. A strong north-to-northeast flow develops over the South Island on Sunday, which gives way to unsettled westerlies with a number of embedded fronts over New Zealand for the remainder of the forecast period. Now, the forecast for Manukau and Waitemata Harbour, Saturday. Northwest 25 knots, gusting 35 knots, tending westerly in the morning, then easing to southwest 10 knots in the afternoon. Rough sea easing in the afternoon. Poor visibility and rain and isolated thunderstorms easing in the evening. Forecast for Sunday, easing, variable 5 knots early, northerly 10 knots developing in the evening, a few showers. Monday, rising to northwest 25 knots in the morning, then changing westerly 15 knots. A period of rain with some heavy falls and possible thunderstorms easing to a few showers. So the marine forecast for the Manukau Waitemata, not good for the weekend. Be very careful out on the water. Okay, let's look at some forecasts for the fly fishing regions. Waikato. Forecast for Saturday, rain with heavy falls and isolated thunderstorms gradually easing from the south from afternoon, southeast breezes. The Waikato region on Sunday, mostly cloudy, a few showers, mainly from afternoon, northeast breezes. Rotorua forecast Saturday, mostly cloudy with a few showers, mainly morning and evening, southeast breezes. Rotorua on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a few showers. If you're fishing in the Taupo Tūrangi region, the forecast for Saturday, mostly cloudy with a few showers, mainly morning and evening, southeast breezes. Taupo on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a few showers, mainly in the evening, a few showers. Southeasterlies gradually turning northeast. If you're up and over the hill in Taumarunui, Saturday, mostly cloudy with a few showers, mainly morning and evening, southeast breezes. Taumarunui on Sunday, cloudy periods increasing in the afternoon as a few showers develop, southeasterlies gradually turning northeast. Now, for our South Island listeners in the Canterbury Plains region, Saturday, cloudy periods and isolated afternoon and evening showers, light southerlies turning northeast during the afternoon. Canterbury Plains on Sunday, mainly fine, high clouds thickening in the afternoon and scattered rain spreading from the south in the evening. Northeasterlies strong about the coast from afternoon. Thanks to Met Service for those reports, we do appreciate that. Now let's look at some river levels. The Pūnui River is 23 kilometres south of Tauamutu, is currently at 8.19 metres and it's flowing at 7.4 cubic metres per second. That's up on last week's flow. The Mangatūtū River, the next one over, is at 1.1 of a metre and holding, and it's flowing at 2.2 cubic metres per second. It's low and clear. The Ohinamuri River at Karangahake Gorge between Pairua and Waihi is 11.8 metres and falling. It's flowing at 3.6 cubic metres per second. That's also up on last week. Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.4 of a metre. That's well up on last week. And the Waipa River measured at Otiwa is at 75.5 metres, falling. It's flowing at 6.5 cubic metres, which is up on last week, but it's in good nick. The Whakapapa River is at 3.3 cubics. Now, that's down from a high of 93 cubic metres per second. The Whanganui River measured at Piriaka is at 19 cubic metres per second, down from a high of 136 cubic metres per second. And the Tongariro measured at Tūrangi is at 25 cubic metres per second, down from 30 early in the week. Enjoy the fishing. be careful when wading. Now, thanks to Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy for that information. We do appreciate that. Excellent websites, updated continuously. Thank you. Okay, what we're going to do now is have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports.
These are the days that I've been missing. Give me the taste, give me the joy of summer wine. These are the days that bring you meaning. I feel the stillness of the sun and I feel fine. Sometimes when the nights are closing early, I remember you and I start to smile. Even though now you don't want to know me, get on by, and I go the extra mile. These are the signs of love and meaning. Eyes of the heart melted away and found the light. These are the days of endless dreaming. Troubles of life floating away like a bird in flight. These are the days. These are the days. These are the days. Hey. Oh. Thought you said our love would last forever, believing that the tears would end for good. I told you that we'd get through any weather. Maybe that didn't work out, but we did the best we could. These are the days that I've been missing. Give me the taste, give me the joy of summer wine. These are the days that bring you meaning. I feel the stillness of the sun, and I feel fine.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Now, Martin Langlers is an interesting bloke. He's based in the South Island. And Martin has many years' experience as a fisherman, a fly tyer, a casting instructor, a fishing guide, a blogger, and a Facebooker. And his aim when fishing with a client is to be innovative, informative, friendly, and professional. And that's obviously why we want to talk to him. Martin is live on here with us now. Good evening, Martin.
Hello, how are you going today?
I'm good, thank you. You're well down there?
Yeah, really good, really good. Look, very, very cold down here this week, but no, we're all good, all smiling.
Okay, the weather has turned for you.
Yeah, the weather has really turned. Man, what a week we had this week, you know. some quite torrential rain and a lot of snow, you know, throughout the sort of hill, the foothills and backcountry. Even, you know, as low down as 400 metres, which is not very far away from where I live in Darfield. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a cold week, but, yeah, really nice fishing continuing on.
Okay. Does that cold weather get rid of the aphids we talked about last week? Are they gone now?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting funny you should say that. I don't know. I was out today and I saw a lot out there today again. But what I really did notice today was a lot of the wax eyes, the little wee birds up in the willows, were eating them.
Okay.
So, you know, if I go, okay, I wonder if some bird, you know how nature goes, some food source, because it's a great food source, you know, so, yeah, I wonder, as the leaves go off the willows, whether and whether it gets really cold, whether their numbers will diminish. You would think they would, for sure.
Okay. Now, we talked about willows last week as well, willow extraction, and I'm still conflicted about this. Willows hold banks together. They take up excess water.
Sure do.
They provide cover, shelter.
Look, it's a real dilemma, isn't it? And, you know, I like a lot of things these days, you know, people tend to get quite extreme with their views, don't they? I mean, I'll include myself in there. You know, we either like something or we hate it. It's either a yes, no. And like a lot of things in life, and especially, you know, having had children, I think a lot of life is more about negotiation, the pros and cons. You know, you don't always get what you want, and I think willows are very indicative of that. As you say, they have some negatives. The way they spread can be really negative, but the positives are they really do hold banks together. And I know a local friend of mine, Barry Mathers, who's a specialist native planter, and his real passion in life is planting out riverbeds and the like, and riparian zones with native plants. But he's all for incorporating poplars and willow trees. So, you know, they all go hand in hand, in my view.
I know the Waikato Regional Council are doing an awful lot of work south of Tiaramutu, the Pūnu River. They're ripping everything out, fencing it off, putting natives. They're spending millions. So we'll find out in about 3 years' time how it's all gone, I suppose.
Yeah, look, it's just one of those I can see, I can see why they want people want to do it. I can see why people want to return to natives and the like. It's, I don't have strong opinions on it, but, willow tree, they certainly have a real fibrous root system. And, you know, down here in the South Island, I mean, I don't know the North Island much, we have dynamic rivers. You know, they go low, they go high, and we've had some horrendously big floods this year. And willow trees really hold the riverbanks together, something incredible. I think, it's interesting, if you were to ask farmers, they can be a real asset, because they really do. I mean, I know a lot of my farmer friends that are losing banks from these floods, you know, where the river just gets flooded out, and if there's no trees or, really cautious riparian planting regimes, they're just losing land every year.
That's right, yeah. Okay. Anyway, keep an eye on that. Yeah, you said you've been out this week. Overseas clients still around?
Yes, overseas clients for sure. You know, I'm just sort of starting to come to the end of the guiding thing, but still going. And, quite a good week. Not a pushover is what I keep saying to everybody. But, we've had fish most days. I think I had one day where we didn't catch any, but we got close to it. So, you know, it's been a really interesting week. I was just thinking of what to say to you. It's either been what I call down and dirty, and that is deep nymphing, lots of that. Yeah. You know, a lot of fish are down on the bottom of the runs and the pools, and they're not really happy to come up, and you've got to get right down to them. And, you know, to do that, Colin, I've been using a lot of really heavy nymphs with multiple tungsten beads, or something I'm really enjoying using these days a lot more is tungsten sleeves. They're like a ribbed sleeve that you can put on a hook, and then you can dub a nymph over it. You can make a nymph over it, and that gives you a lot more weight.
Okay.
What I've done over the last few years, I bought a really sensitive pair of gram scales where I can actually weigh flies.
Yes.
And it's really interesting. I know there's a good article I think you've talked about a few years ago. Was it that guy Toshi who wrote about sink time? Sink time is really important at this time of year. So, you know, really important for people. You know, a lot of fish are locked on the bottom. But that said, at the same time, typical of most things in fly fishing, we've also had a lot of dry flies. Like yesterday, we probably had five or six fish on Adams, Parachute Adams. So there's some really big mayfly hatches and spinnerfalls happening throughout the South Island as we speak.
Excellent. You don't bother you. Okay, you put a lot of weight into your nymphs.
I do.
Do you ever fish with a very heavy, fast sinking line and swing it across and down?
Yeah, not a lot. No, not a lot. I mean, I do a little bit of that with streamers, and I know somebody in Southland, a really well known Australian angler called Peter Morse. And he fished Southland earlier this week, and he was mentioning that. I think that's what he might have been doing. They were in, I'm going to assume, the Matara, and they were At this time of year, it's quite interesting in the South Island. A lot of the browns are moving through the systems. Like, they don't spawn until June, July, but they're starting to migrate. Snow will do that. You know, colder water temperatures and slightly elevated flows, freshers, will really get brown trout active and get them moving through the system. And he was saying, I think he was doing that this week, where he was swinging heavy nymphs. So I haven't really done a lot of that, no. I have been with friends years ago, and we used to do it on the West Coast, on the big rivers, and, you know, we did okay. No, I haven't.
Okay, you can cover some extra water that you can't reach.
Maybe people should look into. I mean, that's the thing. We're all hung up on indicators, aren't we? And I know as Tongariro gets ready to go, we're also hung up on fishing deep nymphs with indicators. But, you've got a good point there.
Yeah, something well worth it. You can swing them through lies that you can't get to upstream. And
I haven't done much of that, but there's something new. I mean, as we keep talking, I'm always looking for something new. And, look, it's something funny that's been in my mind this week, so it's a serendipity that you mention it. So maybe as I get going, I might try and do a bit more of it.
Yeah, stick a spool in your vest and just give it a go sometime. Yeah.
Absolutely, but definitely about those two things. It's the mayflies are generally quite small in the South Island, so you want to have size 16 and 14, greyish. Slightly orangey brown, mahogany body. I don't think you need to be too detailed. Parachute Adams does really well. Irregular Adams do well. Some really good spinner flies are really important, just to imitate the spinner, which is the mayfly, which has the wings out on the water. And some small nymphs and emergers to go with that in the 16 and 14. So that's the guys that are near the top, and there's quite a few of them in the Freestone Rivers. But as I keep saying, a lot of the bigger browns are down, dirty, not avidly feeding, but if you can get a nymph in front of them, they'll swipe it.
That's the one. Now, you've got a couple of weeks to go before a lot of water closes. Time to get out there and get amongst them, isn't it?
Oh, really, very much so. You can probably hear talking to me. I'm majorly a river and stream and Spring Creek fisherman. That's my main focus. But, as I keep referring, some really quite good fishing in the lakes. A lot of our lakes, we are quite lucky. So, throughout the South Island, there's a whole string of lakes that are open during the winter, so you don't necessarily have to run for them, but a lot of the lakes will close. But primarily time for the rivers, the big freestone rivers, the larger rivers that I often refer to, like say the Waia, the Hiranui, the Waimak, the Rakaia, Rangitata, Waitaki, are all in really quite good shape. Like they're all, because it's snowed, their flows often go quite low, and they're in really, really good shape. So those bigger rivers, the Foothill Rivers, also probably have a wee bit too much water in Canterbury. I think as you go south into South Canterbury, they had less rain. So, things like the Opehi would be quite a good bet to fish in the next few weeks. So lots and lots of options out there.
Okay, well, there's a tip, anglers. Lots and lots of options, but you need to, when moving between regions, check your fish and game regulations.
Absolutely.
It's all online. There's no excuses. Yeah. It is the angler's responsibility to know the rules.
Oh, it really is, and I often have that. What I do is I have a, how when you buy your license, you get that little guidebook.
Yep.
I have that in the glove box of my car all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Just referred to it this morning, just to double check. I always, as a guide, I'd hate to get caught fishing somewhere where I'm not allowed to. Always really good to check, because it is quite complex, because a lot of our high country Spring Creeks, for example, tributaries of those rivers I mentioned, are closed because we have salmon spawning in them right now.
Yes.
And they closed at the end of either February or March, so they're closed. But for the most part, most of the rivers are open and, always pays to check.
Okay, well, you're quite right. Now, I saw something on Facebook, a well-known guide down there put an article about fishing etiquette. You're in the river with a client and someone comes along and chomps through the water upstream of you. What's happening down there? Is it well policed, or do people know how it works?
It's an interesting one. A really good question. Excellent, question to ask me. I don't have strong opinions on it, to be honest. Etiquette is like a lot of things in life. It's interesting how we're all so different. And, I really love, only two things I know in this world, Colin, are trout and people, And as people, we have different operating systems. Often, people operate on different systems. I tend to really work on respect. So if I go somewhere and there's a car there, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Okay.
I don't even interfere with that person's day. I certainly leave a note in my car saying I'm fishing up, or I'm walking down and fishing back, or I'm fishing downstream or upstream. Inadequate, yeah, look, I generally leave other anglers alone. Everybody's different. You know, I think some people, I think that still really don't understand the idea that if you do go in front of someone that you're going to spoil their day.
Yeah.
I think some of it might be ignorance and that they don't realise that, say, like brown trout have a really strong sense of smell. So if you walk in a river in front of someone fishing a brown trout river, most of those fish, if you cross the river without waders, they're going to be pretty well put off. So, look, I think it's something that probably Fish and Game need to edify and herald louder, basically. Etiquette, it's an important thing. It just comes to respecting people. We're all out there for the same reason. Look, I must say, as you know, I'm a really, really busy guy, and I feel really blessed to be so busy. The number of encounters I have, tiny.
Okay.
Tiny. Yeah. This season, maybe one or two at most.
Really? Gosh,
there you go.
Just so much water around.
One or two
it?
At most. So, yeah. That, you know, it's obviously different for different regions and you know, different times of year and alike. So, look, it's obviously becoming a big issue, too. I think the whole etiquette thing I know is guides where, you know, people and just as, you know, the whole mix of local anglers, guides, and then there's, as we've talked, quite a lot of visiting anglers that are coming without guides.
Yes.
Yeah, look, it's all becoming a little bit pressured in places, I believe, and yeah, etiquette needs to be probably better understood. It's something Fishing Game need to address more. You know, I think that basically a lot of people don't fully understand the idea of not interfering with people.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, well,
what about up there?
No.
I mean, Tongariro has a lovely etiquette, doesn't it, where you fish through the pool,
yeah,
and then you go back to the back of the line.
Yeah, you don't stand
and
fish.
Look, I loved that when I fished up there with Chappie Chapman in the 80s.
Yes.
Yeah, and you'd have a really good chat to people.
Yeah.
What I really loved about that North Island fishery, especially that winter thing, is you just got to chatting to people, and it was great to just have that social side, because here we tend to be a bit lone wolf. We're obviously going into the backcountry a lot of the time, and you don't actually have a lot of interaction with other anglers,
yeah,
like I do, you know, through this show, and I do through doing flies and the like for people and Facebook and social media. But otherwise, yeah, I think it's always really, you know, I think a lot of friendships can be forged by meeting people on rivers.
That's right. What sort of fly are you fishing and how's it going?
Absolutely,
mate?
Yeah. And you know, just yeah, it's so etiquette. Yeah, all I work on is respect, and you know, I like to be respected. I certainly have had over the years a few occasions where I've been in wilderness rivers, and we've gotten there early, and we've worked up, and it's about 1 o'clock, and you look behind me, and all of a sudden you see two people coming up behind you, and you think, no, surely they're not going to come in front of you, and they do.
Yeah.
And basically, what I've said to them when I say that, I say, look, I would never ever do that to you,
yeah,
you know. And I often, luckily, you know, we've usually had good fishing by then, is let them go ahead and spoil our day and just tell them, hey, that's, you know, really terrible what you've done, I'd never do it. But the number of days I've had that happen, tiny.
Okay, well, that is good, isn't it? Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, yeah, generally pretty good. I mean, there's concentrations of anglers, and it's just about working together. There's a lot of beats. I mean, I know, like, the Mintara in Southland is obviously a really very, very popular river. But, you know, and you often hear stories of people getting jumped and the like there. But just go to a different access point.
Yeah, there's plenty of water. Yeah, fair
plenty
enough.
Plenty of water, and that way you just... Because that's the other thing about, you know, if you go in front of anybody or you interfere with someone, you never really feel good about it.
Yeah. All right, Martin, thank you. Now, excellent
nice
information. Now, your contact details, please.
Sure, you can find my website, www.troutlands.com. That's mainly my site for guiding, but just as I go into winter, I'm going to be doing a lot more commercial tying. So if anybody ever wants any specialist nymphs or... articulated streamers or dry flies or anything for oncoming winter, or you can find me on Facebook.
All right, to have a look at Martin Langlands on Facebook. It's fly fishing, that's all he does.
It's all I do.
It's great. Good photography.
As I say, the only two things I know in this world are trout and people.
And the other two certainties are death and taxes.
Yeah, all just right. About to do that, GST time.
Yeah, that's the one. Thank you, yeah. Martin.
Hey, nice talking, Colin.
Catch you next
Thank
week.
You. Bye.
Thank you. Have a look at Martin Langlands on Facebook or his website, troutlands.com. Fly fishing, that's what he does. Thank you, Martin. Okay, quick break, more fishing stuff. We'll be right back. Fly fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident. He's an even longer-time Rotorua angler. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that he's an expert angler, and he specialises in the Rotorua lakes and rivers. Bert, as always, is live on air with us now. Good evening, Bert.
Evening, Colin.
Are you well?
Yeah, it's been a pretty hard week, but yeah, I'm still able to get up and go fishing. It's got to be good. Well, it's probably
good.
On my deep, you know, just about half dead before I can't make it out the door, but you never know what happens, you know.
Well, I tried to ring you at about 20 past six this afternoon, this evening, and you weren't bloody home and you weren't on your mobile. Tell me, where were you?
Yeah, I was actually playing and fishing. I pulled the phone out and I couldn't get it answered, and this fish was beating me up, actually, and beat the stuffing out of me. So, it wasn't a pleasant experience for me at the time, but and then I missed your call too, so that's the way it is.
Okay, whereabouts were you fishing, and tell us about it?
Well, down at my favourite spot, as usual. I've been hammering that a bit lately. We had a good run of fish through there about 3 weeks ago, and then it went dead. A lot of small fish. I was on the jetty this evening first up, and I picked up a small, actually newly released rainbow. They just released last week 5,000 rainbows in the Rotowiti. And the little fella that I caught was very savage, but no strength to it, obviously, and was fin clipped. So it was one of the new releases. And I remember some years ago out at Karaka when I was living in Hamilton and moved and came across fishing, and that I'd had 84 fishing consecutive casts. Not one of them was worth having, and they were all that day's releases. So they were starving. But never mind.
So
I got dropped one really nice fish, and I picked up another one about just under 4 pound. Beautiful condition. So the fish are starting to move in. We had 37 millimetres of rain with the storm that you guys got as well.
Nice.
Obviously not so much damage, but it did flood the rivers pretty much. And we've had a lot of wind, which has stirred up Lake Rotorua and is making the Ohau Channel very, very dirty. But it's filtering out and when it starts to mix with the Rotowiti water, and there's not so much murk coming down. Grey Ghost seems to be one that's working really well at the moment for there.
Okay.
But there's heaps of other places around. There's fresh fish up there, Tahina, the Nongataha, the Waitea, and in the outlying lakes, there's fish starting to come in. Okarakau Boys Beach at the stream mouth there. A few along the beach. Last weekend I saw fish smelting too far for me to cast out to on Okarakau at the dock camp, which is further out Mitchell Road from Boys. You know, so there's plenty of fish coming in. I haven't heard from Fish and Game, though, about, because they always put their trap in on the 1st of April, and I haven't heard back from them about whether I've had any fish come through. But the fish are definitely coming in. They're not in big numbers, but those that are coming in are superb fish. There are spent fish around, so there's obviously been some early spawning. I picked up a brown that should have been about 10 pound and was about 3.5 last night, and a rainbow that should have been about 5 or 6 pound that was only about 3.5. Both of them were freshly spent, so it was interesting that browns are down at the Kaituna River. And talking to other anglers, there's been a few more browns caught there even through until November.
Okay, that's very good. Now, we're just talking to Martin Langlands down on the South Island, He said there's still lots of overseas anglers around for another couple of weeks before some of their waters close at the end of this month. Mm. You still got overseas anglers in Rotorua?
Yeah, there's a few around, but not many. It's mostly no overseas ones. There's a lot of out-of-towners coming in now, and there's getting to be quite a big network out there now of anglers on Messenger and places like that, yes, where they tell their tall tales and true of their legendary fishing. There's people sharing information more than they ever have been, which is really, really good to see.
Yes.
There's still the old diehards around, of course, but you know, the more information you share, providing you're getting it back, of course, the better everybody's fishing is.
That's right. And you've got school holidays now, so people will be coming in, I presume.
Mm.
Yeah.
A lot of boats moving around tonight. I'm sort of out of the loop as far as school's concerned, so I wasn't not aware of when the holidays are these days, and all of a sudden there's a huge influx of boats coming through, and I thought, oh, it must be a holiday of some sort.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but there's a lot of boats coming through tonight, I noticed, on the state highway, and I don't get to see sort of the road much in town where I work, so I don't get to see the streams of boats being towed through into town from out of town as well.
Okay.
But there's certainly a lot. There'll be a lot of people on the water, but there's plenty of water. You know, I mean, you've got Rerifukaitu that's starting to fish. You've got Napuri. Not big fish, but a fun fish. Okaro is another one. There's a few fish coming into the stream mouth there and to the boat ramp. You know, so you can just about pick a spot and go. Just as I walked in the door, it was starting to rain. We're due for more rain again tonight, so there'll be fish coming in now. And when it all calms down and we start to get a few consecutive days of fine weather, it'll go off a bit. But that's great because the next lot of rain will bring a horde of fish in, and we'll be back into it again.
Yes, well, just looking at your forecast, talking about that, tomorrow you got showers, Sunday you got showers, Monday rain developing, some heavy falls.
Yeah, we'll see. Any day this weekend or any night this weekend will be great for fishing. The lake temperatures dropped significantly with that storm that came through. It dropped over a degree during the first 24 hours and is continuing now to drop because the wind has got a fair bit of a bite to it, and it's very strong, and it's really stirred the lake up, Lake Rotorua in particular, which has gone, was chocolate brown a couple of days ago. It's eased off a wee bit now, but we've still got that wind coming through, and it's chilling down the lake. So it'll be chilling down all of the lakes. The bigger lakes will take longer to chill down, but once they start to get that chilling down effect, then the fish do really start to move.
Yeah.
And you're going to have places like Hauparu Bay, which generally fishes well early in the season on Rotorua, and you will have a few fish coming in at Ruatau. There's a few fish been seen off the pipe at Heniahopu. And another really good spot that's usually very, very quiet, well, probably won't be after this, is the boat ramp at Kennedy's Bay. You just walk out, and it's very high, that lake, but you can get out onto the jetty, and you can just about land your fish on the jetty, beach it, so to speak. So that place there can fish superbly well, particularly if there's any rain at all in the area at this time of the year.
All right, there you go. As always with Rotorua, plenty of options. What do you got, 13 cool lakes and a huge number of rivers?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, within an hour of Rotorua, if you want crystal clear streams, you've got the Wider T. You can shoot over the hill to the Waimakariri, the Waiho, and there's just so many little Waipas 45 minutes away.
Yes.
So, you know, we're right in the heart of some of the best fishing in the country.
Yes.
We may not have the biggest fish, but our fish are up there. You know, they are genuine trophy fish. And, of course, end of this month, the browns will start to run in earnest up the Ngongatahara, Wairatea, and the Utahina. So, you know, there's heaps coming up in the next few months.
That's right. Very good. Very good. Now, let's sum up. We can say that the summer fishery is finished now.
Pretty much. Yeah, definitely. It's the lake temperature is under 18. That's normally the point that turns fish into the stream mouths. Not in big numbers, but it certainly has. So, yeah, definitely that's pretty much all over now.
Okay. I talked to Stella Gordon Turangi last week. She said the summer, in her opinion, the summer fishery down there this year, best in 25 years.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say ours was the best in 25 years. It was up there with about normal. I went down there one night and got 22. Others have got, and that was about 3 hours fishing. I know others have got over 60 in 4 hours fishing. So, yeah, it's up there. We always tend to have a, if the lake really gets hot and there's not too much wind over summer, we have a fantastic fishery where you can easily get, even a novice, can get, you know, 20 to 40 fish in a session.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's been like that since, well, the first report that I've read as far back as 1936 it was doing that. So, you know, the lake holds its own as far as numbers of fish are concerned. It's probably the biggest per head of population of any lake around the country. And you got trophy browns in there. Occasionally you get that big rainbow. Occasionally on the city side of the lake, you'll pick up even, or around Longataha, even you'll pick up a hybrid, you know, your tiger trout, even occasionally the brook char, not very often, but they are there, whereas your other lakes, either straight rainbows or a mix of rainbows and browns. Mm-hmm. Oh, and of course now on Rotowiti, we've got a horrendous amount of catfish. Population has exploded out there. They've got 11,000 over the last 3 months out of one particular bay, and they're just trying desperately to stop them spreading.
Goodness me, 11th, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Bert. Now, we've just got to wrap it up. Your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm on 0272896079. Just flick us a call or a text, and I'll give you all the information that you could possibly need and probably more.
Well, there's the offer, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua, 0272896079. To give him a call, text, talk fly fishing. That's what he loves. Bert, we do appreciate it. Lovely to catch up. Good fishing. Enjoy the weekend. Talk
indeed
to you next week.
Indeed. Catch you later.
Thank you, Bert.
Right.
See ya. Mr. Bert Robinson, do appreciate that. Okay, a quick break and then the fly fishing tip of the week.
After years of expensive education, a car full of books and anticipation, I'm an expert on Shakespeare, and that's a hell of a lot. But the world don't need scholars as much as I thought. Maybe I'll go traveling for a year, finding myself or start a career. I could work for the poor, though I'm hungry for fame. We all seem so different, but we're just the same. Maybe I'll go to the gym.
Okay,
so
you're listening
to
Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Right, the fly fishing tip of the week. Remember that the first cast to a given spot affords the best opportunity for a strike. In other words, be prepared. Okay, Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.